Hi, ladies. Welcome to the Lady Up America podcast. I'm Diane Canada, your host, and I am so glad you're here today. Thanks for tuning in. It is Thursday. It is March 28th, and this is Holy Week as we come up on Easter this weekend. I'm going to invite a special friend onto the show today, and we're going to dig into a topic that I know is going to be so relatable to so many of you ladies. And we're going to be talking today about the struggle, you know, and how God repurposes pain, how he uses struggles to bring us to our ultimate purpose. And so I hope this show blesses you today. My guest today is Leah Williams. She is the host of a great radio show called The American Dream. She is a Christian conservative, and she's just got a lot of really poignant and insightful things to say. I was recently a guest on her radio show, and we had a great time visiting together. I've been getting to know her here in town. So I'm excited for you to get to know her today. So please welcome to the show, Leah Williams. Hi, Leah.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me on. This is fun. I'm the one that's on the other side of the mic, so it's fun to be a guest in someone else's show.
This is a little different for you today. I know.
Yeah.
It's fun. I know. I feel that way too when I go on other people's shows. It's like, you know, and I loved visiting with you on yours, but it is a little weird. It's like you kind of have to change hats for a sec. And, you know, I love just the conversations that you and I have been having lately. And I just wanted to let my ladies who follow me, I want them to be in on these conversations because they're just really so helpful. I think we're all, you know, we're all struggling right now as we look at the course of America. And I want you to share with people real quick before we get into our topic about your radio show, because I know you have a heart for America. You're a patriot and you've got a heart for the Lord. So just share real quick what you're hoping to achieve with your radio show, because it aligns so well with Lady Up America.
Yeah. So this vision kind of started in 2020 when the gloom and doom media just took over. And I ironically was at Planet Fitness, of all places, who's now been kind of canceled for, you know, being very woke. But I remember looking at all the screens. I was on the treadmill and every screen was gloom, 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 doom, doom. Everybody, even Fox News, everybody. And I was just like, God, I want to fix this. I'm sick of this. This is wrong. I can fix this. I'm good at talking on camera. I'm good at writing. I'm good at these things. I studied theater in college and I took the PR route instead of the journalism route. I just felt like PR was a little more of a way to pay your bills. Journalism just seemed kind of like a, I don't know. So I just kind of went a different route. I mean, it's a crazy route. It wasn't exactly the straight line that you would hope somebody would have. But anyway, I won't get into that. But, you know, it's been 4 years since that moment. And, you know, it's been a like rocky world because I really feel like God's like, you're going to go into this dark world of media that's so dark, and we're going to bring light to this. So my goal with this show is not just a little radio show. It's to transform the media industry to turn to good. And I like to say we are biased, but we have a hope bias. You know, we have a God bias. So it's like, even today in the show, you know, I read about what's going on with the bridge collapse that happened just in Baltimore, and I did not want to cover that. So I'm like, I waited until there was like a God story that came out of that. And there was one. Somebody was miraculously saved just by God's timing.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Oh,
yeah,
that's great.
It was on CBN News. And, you know, and I don't like to make light of bad situations and just be like, oh, you know, just get through it. It's not that bad. You know, and that's kind of what we're going to be talking about. But as far as like news goes, it's just so... And I think that's why it's so important with what you're doing too, because people don't really know what's going on because they don't want to know. It's so depressing. And one thing that I'm very passionate about is protecting people when I read the stories too. Like I do pick out, cherry pick good stories that are going on. There is good things happening right now. Good, hopeful political things actually. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But one thing that really like, maybe that's like my female side, a protective side, but I don't like reading the gory details. I don't think it's important to share every gory detail of every horrible thing that happened. Yeah. We don't need to know that so-and-so murdered her husband and did all these things. Like, save that for the courts, you know? So I really take a avenue. I want to protect people, you know? Like, I want them to be informed of what's going on, but I don't want them to be so hopeless that they don't even want to know. And also what we do is we interview people like yourself, other people who are more activist, or they're, you know, starting a business that's about, you know, faith, family, freedom, and showing that people aren't just sitting around doing nothing too. So I want to empower people at the same time and say, okay, it's hope is not lost. Now, does that mean we say, oh, everything, everything's gonna be fine, and I'll just wait till voting day and then Trump will come back and everything, you know? We have to participate in that. So It's kind of, and that's why I called it the American Dream. Actually, it was a name that God told me to name it 2 years ago. And I put together kind of like a pilot, test pilot for my show, and pitched it to a Christian network, and it just sat there for 2 years, nothing happened with it. And all of a sudden, bam, this opportunity came to get the show on a real radio station. And I'm like, okay, Lord, let's do this, you know? So that was kind of a long summary, but
It's okay. I mean, I think it's interesting for people to know and to understand, and, you know, like two things that just came to mind when you were talking. One is like, you're at Planet Fitness and you're seeing all this doom and gloom, and it's like, people say somebody should do something. Somebody should start, you know, a good news channel, whatever. And it's like, we're looking in the mirror, right? That somebody should be us. Like, kind of the same thing with me. Like, why isn't anybody talking about the things I'm talking about? Well, sometimes, you know, God's kind of looking at us and going, you know, you're the somebody.
you know?
But then the other thing too is, you know, in the news, we know that if it bleeds, it leads, right? The gorier, the better, the shock and awe to get people, you know, it's the news media, at least the establishment news media, their goal in order to get you and keep you watching is to constantly have you on the edge of your seat, or constantly be shocked and awed with your chin on the ground. So I think at this point we've had so much, and I mean, think about it, Leah, like news comes at us from 1,000 angles all day long now, where it used to be like when I was a kid, there was a newspaper, you know, and you had three channels, and at night you had the 5 o'clock news and that was it. You know, now we've got news 24/7, and it's coming at us on our phones. It's coming at us on billboards. It's coming at us even in the, you can't even pump your gas now without a video news report popping up. I mean, it's just everywhere. Yeah. So people, I know moms especially, are burnt out. They're just burnt out on this stuff. Yeah. So I'm really happy to see you moving forward. And I'm seeing a lot of moms tuning into more wholesome and good news kind of stations. You know, like I canceled my Prime membership. I've canceled things because I just don't want to see, I don't want to see all of it anymore.
Yeah.
So moms are telling me too, they're really sick of it. They're not even turning the news on anymore. They just, it's kind of like, they're kind of just done with it.
So what I do is I sift through all the conservative sites and pull out really good stuff. And it's not like cat stories, you know, like fluffy stuff. We do have a couple of fluffy things, but you know, I really try to find the gold. And, you know, as we grow, we can get our own reporters to find our own stories. So for now, we just cite these, you know, so I do the work for you so you don't have to go and comb through, like, and some days there's really not a lot to report on. I kind of have to just do a fluffy story. But some days it's like, bam, like we've got DeSantis passing this law. We've got this governor. And a lot of it's happening in the red state. That's where the best news is coming out of. I'm just seeing this kind of thing unfold, and it's not just in the red states, it's also with parallel economy and people building these businesses, and I get to report on it in real time, and it's really exciting because I feel like, you know, I do think more like a businesswoman than just a media person, because I've been doing business for years. I'm really more of an entrepreneur, and there's just this space that nobody wants to touch. It's good news, and nobody really, it's not that enticing. And so I'm like, hey, I'm going to get in there and start reporting on this stuff nobody even thinks about reporting on before anyone notices that it's an opportunity, you know?
Yeah, I love that. I love that. That entrepreneurial spirit is so needed right now too, in this culture, like in ways to bring healing and hope into this culture right now. I think carving out new pathways to do that is what I mean by that. A lot of the moms that listen to me and watch me, Lee, and maybe this is the case for you too. I know you appeal to a wider audience than just women, but what the women are telling me is that they are so desperate for some hope. They are very motivated. They're very, they want to get in the ring. They want to do something. They want to help, but they don't know what to do. And when they, like you say, when they flip on the news or when they see some politician speak or when they see all these things happening in our culture, the flooding invasion at the border, they see, the economy so out of whack. We see this election season with all the rhetoric back and forth on all that. They're just tired of it, The struggle, I think that they are really wrestling with the most is the struggle for their, they're really worried about their children and their grandchildren. They're so, so worried that we are slipping farther and farther into Marxism and that their children and their grandchildren are going to be left with an America that's no longer free. And I would say that is the biggest thing. So, but where I want to go with this today is like, we're talking about how God will use that struggle for good. Alongside all the doom and gloom news stories, there's also like this massive uprising of God's kids, like God's children, you, me, all these people who love the Lord rising up and getting on the field. Like we've put the names on the back of our jerseys and we're on the field, and we're all on team God, right? It's like more and more of us are coming to the field. So don't you think this struggle is already, can't you just already see God's hand in this struggle that we're in? I'd love to hear about some ways you're seeing that.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely comment on my personal struggle, really. Like it kind of just started right when I had just that realization to start doing the news. And, along the way, God gave me other businesses he wanted to start that to kind of go alongside what I'm doing, including an ad agency, which is a non-woke ad agency, just to like pour into these businesses. But the struggle, I've just kind of seen, I feel like there's a lot of like Josephs out there, who've just been kind of in this prison season or they're just kind of waiting like, okay, Lord, are you going to release me to do this thing? But then also it's like, well, what do? I was kind of in this prison season. I mean, I won't get the nitty gritty details, but it was as close to prison as you could possibly get. My car broke down. It was the middle of COVID. My business tanked. I don't even know how I paid my bills. I was living with my mom's friend and, I lived in New York for 7 years before I moved to Chattanooga and now I'm in Tennessee and I didn't have a car there. So I could get around without a car in New York City just fine. But in the middle of the suburbs in Chattanooga, I was stuck and it was about 2.5 years without a car. And it was like a luxurious prison, honestly. And it was that time, which I still kind of feel like I'm finally coming out of it, but I had to really work on all my junk. And that's when the struggle really happened and just working through fears and forgiveness and childhood wounds and, really, and then also God just gave me basically the strategy for the rest of my life of what he wants me to do. But like when you kind of like, when you really partner with the calling on your life, it's a battle because once you start step into that and you're like, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to step into this dark place. You are going to face some stuff. And I wish that the church would be a little bit more, forthcoming about that. They don't really warn you of any of that stuff, like they're like, okay, just be nice to your neighbor. And I'm like, okay, that is not what happened to me. I was nice to my neighbor and they were not nice back and I had to keep forgiving them, but it's even more than that. So, I mean, I'm only 40 and I feel like I already have a memoir and I'm like, I'm too young to have a memoir, but it's like so long. And I'm like, and so I'm kind of coming out of this like prison season, this boot camp. You and I were talking about this kind of feels like Navy SEAL boot camp.
Yeah.
For a lot of the more warrior types. And, it really like it is part of it. But I don't know. I in 2017, God gave me this vision that I would be one day going to the nations and restoring people from poverty. And that is like my overall like heart is just to restore nations. And everything I'm doing, I feel like is leading up to that purpose. But I remember that year is when Wonder Woman came out. And I remember watching that trailer to Wonder Woman over and over and over again, and just wanting to be her. And I'm like, God, I want to be that. Please let me be Wonder Woman. And whatever that looks like, you know, as your daughter, I'm not trying to be a god, because she was a god. Obviously, I know I'm not a god, but I'm a child of one, you know. Yeah. And so, and just something about that just fierce, that's the scene where she like walks into no man's land and she's got her gear on and she's just like, you know, get the bullets are just like, you know, but I'm like, I've been feeling like that for so long. And I've watched that trailer so many times. I'm going to be real honest. This doesn't sound really dorky, but I listen to that trailer music all the time. Like when I was living in that season with no car, all I could do was walk in the neighborhood. That was, you know, it was a, and even walking outside during COVID was just a scandalous thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'd get on my like battle music, literally like trailer music, and I'd walk. That's all I could do is walk. And a lot of times that was all I had the faith to do that day, was to get outside, walk for 30 minutes and listen to this, you know, hardcore Marvel soundtrack music, you know, and it worked. It really helped me, actually. I still do it. Mm-hmm. And so, because then I just kind of felt like at least made it more fun and give me a soundtrack to this crazy battle I'm in that nobody knows I'm in but God and me, you know, maybe like two friends. But it also just kind of gave me a soundtrack to where I was just like kicking Satan in the face every day. So I could just feel like, you know, and I could put my rage somewhere, because I was learning about all this crazy sex trafficking stuff. Everything was kind of coming out. I didn't know any about it. And so it just made me so angry. So I just like, when you get so angry, like you channel your rage at the devil and just rebuke him, you know, like, you know, and I, one thing I go to a lot is that scripture that just says, you know, it's not a battle against flesh and blood, but against the forces of evil.
Right.
So you can deal with the forces of evil, you know, you have to do it with the blood of Jesus. Don't just walk in somewhere you don't have authority and start rebuking things when God's like, you don't have the authority. But if you have the authority and it's in your calling, you can call out stuff, you know. So
There are several things about that stand out to me. Like, so one, I think COVID was really a massive turning point for a lot of us who got in the game during that time. Yeah. That was when I was running for office and had never been in politics before. And, you know, and it laid all the foundation for what I'm doing now. But during that time is when so many of us were waking up and so many of us were seeing, like, going, oh my gosh, you know, we've been asleep. Like we had no idea all these things were festering under the surface of our culture. And and then it's like they just started blooming everywhere. Everything just started manifesting everywhere. You know, but yeah, I think a lot of us moms, especially women, we have this Wonder Woman kind of warrior spirit rising up in us, because we just see so much. I mean, it's twofold. It's not just, you know, the stuff we see in the culture that could affect our children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, all that. But we also see the spiritual, the evil that has just been, you know, manifesting too. It's just been like, it's like just been this undercurrent that was going on in our schools and reaching our kids. And we just didn't even, right under our noses, and we didn't even know. So I think, we all are in this warrior spirit. And it's like, what do we do with all that anger? What do we do with all of this, all these emotions that we're feeling? And this is where I think a lot of the moms are coming from, you know, who listen to Lady Up, because they're like, I, this is what's motivating them to come to me and say, what do I do? What do I do? I mean, I can't tell you how many of these sweet ladies, Leah, they'll just look at me in the eye with such desperation in their eyes, just desperate for some hope. And, you know, the beauty is what you're doing, what I'm doing, and a lot of other great people out here are stepping up to do now as a result of all this, is to pump that hope. But it's gotten, like I just keep saying over and over, this is not a political battle. It's a spiritual battle that's manifesting in politics. It's manifesting as a political battle, but it is a spiritual battle 100%. And this is why I redirected all my energy to trying to win back the culture, because politics is downstream of culture. There's no, I say it all the time, there's no cavalry coming out of Washington. The next election's not going to fix this. The election after that's not, even if Trump goes back in or whatever, it's not going to fix all of the other stuff that's so broken now. The only one that can fix that is the Lord. That's the only hope we have is a return to God. And it is that warrior spirit, that Navy SEAL kind of mentality. I think those of us that are on the battlefield right now that came out of COVID, we stepped up. We are those God's frontliners. You know, we're the ones out here going, okay, send me, Lord. You know, when God's looking for somebody to send, we're going, okay, I raise my hand, I'll go in first. And that's what SEALs do. You know, they're the first ones in, and then the rest of the troops come in behind them, but the SEALs go in first. Yeah. So I honor you for stepping up, you know, for raising your hand. It's not easy to do. And you're going to, I'm sure you're taking a lot of darts. I'm sure you're taking a lot
of heat. It has been, I do really feel called in the world of like business and finance too, like just getting finances to be able to fund the kingdom.
Yeah.
And really, like, ever since I really kind of got that calling to that financial part of it, like everything dried up financially. Like, I honestly, I'm only here today because of friends and family supporting me along the way. And it has been, you know, like, I've asked the Lord to really let me be in that place, because there's so many evil billionaires, and I'm like, God, put me in there. I'll be a kingdom billionaire. Like, and not even wanting the money to spend on yachts or whatever, because I'm like, God, I want to be in toe to toe with Klaus Schwab, you know, and I need the money to do that. And so ever since I really just started owning that calling, it's like, nobody wants to hire me for anything. And I'm not declaring that, but it's like, okay, I clearly am in this crazy calling, because it's like, what is going on? Because I went from almost making six figures in New York. I had this amazing business. I was working with all these companies. And then, of course, when I came out as like this non-woke person, and God told me to do it on LinkedIn, I had to tell people I'm doing this, you know, and I had all these New York businesses I work with, big names you've heard of. And it was like, poof, dried up, you know, we don't want anything to do with you. And we're going to get like the nitty gritty. I faced so many bug attacks too. Like, I hate bugs. I hate them. And I've had roach infestations. I've had poisonous spiders. I've had infestations of yellow jackets. It's like, God was just like, you're going to deal with this. You're going to deal with these fears. And I mean, it's close, like I said, to prison as possible. It's like everything you're going to, you know, so, and I've had car issues, like the car that I had after finally a friend, gave me one of her cars that she was going to like give back to the dealer. And I had a car all of a sudden after 2.5 years. And then that car, the brakes went out of nowhere. I didn't have the money to replace it. And so I was like, the only thing I could do was trade in my car for a newer car. And I was like, I didn't know what to do. And but I felt like God was there the whole time. And I somehow was able to get like a nicer car, and the money's just showed up to pay for that car payment every month. And I'm just like, I don't have the Dave Ramsey check lifestyle where everyone's like, oh, you're doing this and this and this. And I'm like, look, I'll do whatever you want me to do lifestyle for God, and take whatever comes my way. And you just keep on going, you know, like I just told God on the way home, I'm like, God, I don't really have a ton of faith right now to keep going, but I will get up tomorrow and I will do the show tomorrow and I will answer that email. I will do this sometimes, you know, and I've kind of gotten out of the whole idea of you've got to, you know, talk nice to God and be like, please, Lord, and I'm like, no, I'm real with the God. I'm like, I have tears of just desperation. And I'm like, what the heck are you doing, Lord? Like, where are you? You know, I tell people, I'm like, look, he already knows how you're feeling, so you might as well tell him. And I remember God telling me this back in 2020. He said, Leah, I don't care how you feel. I don't care if you hate me. You just talk to me. Please don't cut the conversation off with me. I just want you to keep talking to me no matter how you feel. Because if you think about, you know, your kids, they're going to have tantrums, you know, but are you going to stop talking to them because they're having a tantrum? You know, it's just part of the process of.
Well, he can handle it. I mean,
he can.
He can totally handle it. And, you know, here's my theory on, and because I've studied this a lot in the Bible and all too, but this is my kind of takeaway that it was the same for me. I was making a lot of money doing, you know, the work that I did before this. And you know, when you go all in for God, there's a testing and a trying period where, yes, your resources dry up and you have to depend on him to come through. If he's called you to it, then he will provide for it. And yeah, it's been the same exact for me building Lady Up. I had wonderful people come alongside who believed in the mission, believed in what I was doing, and kind of helped put in some seed money. But I also have been just putting in a lot of, you know, my own. And there's a, my theory basically is that God, this is the part where God is purifying our motives.
Yeah.
I think it's a purification process. Are you going to follow me even when it's hard? Are you going to follow me even when you don't know where the provision is going to come from? I mean, obviously it comes from him, but what I mean is how he's going to do it. Are you going to follow me on those days when you get up and you wonder, is anybody listening? Are you still going to show up for me? And, you know, I'll tell you something, Leah, that is what, especially when I first started all this, that was what I kept hearing in my heart. Like sometimes I would get up and I'd be like, what's the use? I'm not even going to put out a show today or whatever, because nobody's probably listening. And God, like, I heard him speak so clearly in my heart. He said, you're not showing up for them. You're showing up for me.
Yeah.
And I went, whoa. Yeah. I went, you're right. You're right. I mean, I'm so sorry, Lord. Like, you're in all of it. Like he says in the Bible, do everything that you do unto the Lord. And so we're doing this for him. And, you know, and the thing is, people are listening. You know, we want to see that validation. We want to see those numbers. I know people are listening to your show. I know they're listening to mine. People come up to me in public all the time. They're like, oh, I caught your show yesterday and I loved it. And it's across multiple platforms. I don't have it on one like you do. Maybe yours is a little more measurable than mine. Mine is spread out among 8 or 10 different platforms every day. So it's hard to, it's hard to know. But I can't show up every day hoping to get high numbers, high ratings. I have to show up every day for him and let him take care of whose ears it's going to fall on that day. And, but you're in the purification where I'm in the purification process. And you know what, at some point, if he wants it to grow to some massive proportion, he'll do it. We don't have to worry about it. Our job is to just keep showing up. Just keep showing up and doing it, speaking truth in love to the ladies or to the people who are following us. And that is enough for today. You know, that's enough for today. And we don't know the outcome. And I'm getting there, because I know in your world and in my world too, you had to measure everything. Yeah. Like you had to measure success. And in this work, when it's more mission style work, we don't measure with the same metrics. In other words, we don't measure at all. God's saying, put the measuring stick away and let me do it. And that's really hard for people like us.
It is, because it is like humbling. And I'm glad you said this, because, you know, looking at my Instagram, there's like 30 people following the show. But then I remember I had this thought the other day, like, that's 30 people I'm reaching.
That's right.
I'm reaching 30 people and I can give them hope. And these are partners. Like, a lot of the people are following and have been on the show, but like, who cares? Like, you know, like, I'm doing what God's calling me to do, you know. And I, one example that I've just kind of noticed recently, because I've had the VP of Public Square on, like, she comes in every week to kind of give an update of what's going on there. And, you know, I started to realize what God did. Public Square started off as like a clunky app in like 2021. I remember I just saw someone share it like on Telegram. I'm like, well, this is cool. And most startups start up like that. But it was like God was just like, okay, I need you to start this now. And I knew it. I'm sure it grew a lot faster than what I saw it as. But the woke stuff, the Dylan Mulvaney stuff, hadn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, God's like, okay, I'm going to prepare this. So when that stuff happens, then you're going to get this like thing. But, you know, the blessing of God too is like, he would never want you to be super successful right out of the gate when you have no idea what you're doing.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so like right now, my show is a little bit smaller and it's in a local radio station. We are on Spotify. I've never done radio before broadcasting. My dad was a meteorologist on TV. So I do feel like I have like that natural gifting.
Mm-hmm.
But it's this kind of space to just figure it out where I'm like, you know, Lord, like I would like it to go viral, but give me some time to just get my sea legs before you really bring it. Cause I'm like, I don't want to be drowning, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm also like, but God, you know, some finances would be helpful too, but it is just this grace of timing, you know. And honestly, I'm like, God, I don't have any control over timing. Like, I feel like there's this date set, and then that's the explosion date, and I don't really have any power to move the needle. So I'm just like, you just tell me what to do today. And that's one thing God's just been really telling me, like, you need to trust me for today and know that I've got you today. And it's been so hard because I'm such a future person, and I'm always like, okay, what's the next thing? What are we gonna do? We're gonna do, you know. And
I get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's like, Okay, rest in today. I'm okay today, you know. And I learned, you know, I've heard this the phrase, like, be content, you know. And When I heard that growing up, I felt like it always meant like, suck it up, you know.
Right.
You're okay. Just suck it up. Move on. And I'm like, you should be thankful for what you have, you know, like that scene in The Christmas Story where their mom was just like, there's kids in Africa who don't have mashed potatoes or something, you know. And he's like, I still don't want to eat these, you know. And so I learned what that meant. The secret to being content is to say, I'm okay right now.
Yeah.
I'm okay. Like, on the show, you and I are talking. I'm sitting here in this chair that God gave me miraculously because I prayed for a chair to do my quiet time, and I didn't have any furniture money or anything. And then this showed up like 2 weeks later, you know? So like, That's really the secret is, you know, ladies, you're watching this show, you're watching everything going on. It's so scary. You know, we have to first say, I'm okay right now. God has got me this second. And when you're able to be calm and peaceful before the Lord, that's when you hear the instructions. That's when you hear the ideas. God can say, hey, why don't you go talk to your neighbor? You know, see if she's okay. Like, because when we're in panic mode, it's very hard to hear from God because all kinds of stuff in our head, you know. So it's when we're
so much noise
before the Lord. Yeah, that's when we can really go, okay, I know what to do right now. And so I tell a lot of my mom friends, like, just if you can escape to the bathroom for 5 minutes, just get there, talk to God for 2 minutes, you know. And breathe and talk to the Lord. If that's all you got, God will talk to you. He'll meet you right where you're at. He's not asking you to do everything perfectly. And, you know, but just take those moments because God will speak to you in whatever you can give him. He's going to take it.
I just did a whole show on this yesterday talking about that when we're at rest, when our souls are at rest and our minds and our bodies and our souls are all resting in him, that's when the next breadcrumb appears, or that's when it will occur to you what to do next. God, where his whisper of wisdom can get through. And I always say it's a whisper. He's not going to shout and compete with all the noise in our head. We've got to get still, and we've got to get quiet, and we've got to settle the storms down inside of us. And then that's when we can hear his whisper. It's just, I don't know if it's been like that for you. For me, it's always a whisper. It's always like when I'm in my still, I love to go walk in nature, do something like that. And that's usually when I feel, I can feel him speaking to me. And and all of a sudden I just know what to do next. It just lands on me. And it's like, okay, of course that's what should be next. It just becomes so clear. And then I just go do that. And you're so right. Like, learning to just be present and I call it waiting well, learning to wait well on that next breadcrumb for the Lord, and just be totally appreciative and grateful for breath in your lungs right now. And for hope in him. Like, this world is sinking sand. I mean, eternity is where our thoughts should always be. Yes, we have to live in this world, and we want to do our best and show up for him. We want to show up for our kids, our grandkids. But, you know, I was thinking, every society goes through this, you know, when they start to prosper, you know, start out with, you know, our country started out with a commitment to God, a covenant with God, right? And we had a Christian worldview and all that. And then as people become, you know, successful, prosperous, as they become, they sort of start slipping away from him. They start to become their own gods. And then it's like, it was this in Sodom and Gomorrah. It was like this in Rome. It was like this in Babylon. I mean, we're just the next iteration of it. And it always comes around again, where you get a government that's bloated and out of control. They devour their people. People have to rise up. It's the cycle is over and over. There's nothing new under the sun. So God forbid. I mean, I do think that God's kids are rising up right now. And I do think that we're going to have massive revival in this country. Either Jesus is coming back, or there's going to be massive revival.
Yeah.
I think. But even if worst case scenario, even if our kids and grandkids have to fight again for their freedom, God planned them. He designed them for such a time as this. They will rise up and do it. We're trying to prevent it. You know, we don't want them to have to, but you know, if that happens, then God's got a plan and a purpose for them, and he'll be with them just like he's been with us. And so I think it's just that releasing the outcome and knowing the one who really does have all full power. The government does not have ultimate power. It's God's ultimate power. Well, I know we're a little over, but I'm enjoying talking to you. I'm going to leave you, let you have the last word today for that mom out there who's struggling today and who feels worried and feels helpless right now. What could be our parting words for her today?
You know, one thing that God has asked me over the years is, what do you want? Ask yourself, what do you want? And allow yourself to answer that question however you want. Obviously, you're talking to God. And let that start the conversation of what to do. Like, sometimes just admitting what you want and how you want to change things is a good step. Like, and so I can't answer that question for you, but it's okay to tell God what you want. And it's okay to need things. And, you know, and I really believe God is not going to call you to something you don't already want to do and you're not already gifted to do. Yeah. So God's not asking you to run for office if you don't care about legislation. He's not asking you to run for school board if you don't care, you don't feel called to teaching or anything like that. He's going to ask you something you already want to do already. And you just maybe not admitted to that to yourself now, you know, so, but allow yourself to want something and let that guide you to what to do, you know? Yeah. So, and that doesn't mean that you're not going to feel uncomfortable, but God loves you and he created you so perfectly and you have gifts, you have talents that he wants to use. And he did not give you children also to where you're going to neglect them. He has a plan to where you can do all the things that he wants you to do. And he will tell you exactly how to do it to where you don't feel like you're neglecting your kids, you're neglecting your family. He is so great to where he will perfectly fit it in to your life, because he doesn't need you to work 40 hours a week for some company, you know, like maybe it's just 30 minutes a day you're going to be doing something, but he can do a lot with those 30 minutes. So,
yeah. It's loaves and fishes. It really is. What God can do, his breath of favor can just give us, like when we have that wind at our back. Yeah. And it's just listening for him. Like, don't go out and just try to do something. It's be led by him on what he's calling you to do and then trust that. I think that's beautiful advice. So on this Good Friday, I want to wish you, Leah, a wonderful Easter weekend. And thank you so much for visiting with me today. And also to all the ladies that are listening, God bless you. Bless your hearts and have a wonderful Easter weekend. And I will see you back here next week. All right. Lady up. Around.